Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Moon Talk Radio. It is Gray Dale here, and I also have Carmen on the line. Hi, Carmen.
Hello, Dale. How are you, Gray? It is so good to be here with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's so great to have you as well. That was so surprising. this is interesting and powerful right off the bat, right? Because we're talking about the transit, astrology, and transitioning in general. And you came out with my quote unquote dead name. That was the first part of the episode because me and Carmen used to also be together, united as a partnership, as one, right? Carmen was my lover and I was Carmen's lover. And although I do use both names, Gray Dale, occasionally, I primarily go by Gray.
And
So
I believe
powerful that you came on and you were like, Dale. I was like, ah, trigger.
it's the first time I've ever made that mistake ever speaking to you since you've come out to me.
It's really ironic and it's organic, and I'm sure it's an issue that a lot of trans people actually deal with on a regular basis. So it's powerful that it was the first thing right off the bat that came out. And it's like I could have just been like, oh yeah. But in actuality, I was like, no, let's take a minute and talk about this before we even talk.
Right. And it was such a swift fail thing for me that I corrected myself automatically.
Yeah, and see, and that look, I love this. This is a perfect, we're a perfect example of how to appropriately deal with situations like this. And we have a very unique connection because Carmen is a trans woman. She's a trans Native American, Mexican American woman, and I am a trans Black or Native American, African American woman. And so we have these similar perspectives, but different perspectives. And when we dated, we were both in this role, okay, pretending in quotations, of cis male gay. The only difference
Right.
between the two of us was I had buried myself so deeply into the microcosms and the programming of our society and drinking the Kool-Aid that I had convinced myself through drinking the Kool-Aid that I wasn't me. And I was a trained actor, so it was easy to fall into a role that wasn't me. Versus you, Carmen, you can talk a little bit about your experience, but you claim how you knew for a long time, maybe even a decade before you decided to transition, that you were a woman. I personally am constantly having dreams come back to me from childhood. That term, I always saw myself this way. And so it is painful. I'm constantly having to forgive myself for allowing other people to determine my story for me. And the reality that I actually always knew for myself. I was raised in a church. I wanted to be a good girl. You know, my grandfather's a pastor of church. My grandmother was a first lady. My mom was an evangelist. You're raised in this Christian fire and brimstone. There is a right or wrong way to do this. God is going to punish you kind of environment. And so you just convince yourself that no, it's not this, right? And I can still attract boys and get the things that I want. But in actuality, I was never fully able to achieve the status and the things that I really wanted in my relationships or in my life. And a lot of that was because I was never really myself. So before we even get started, I want Carmen to talk a little bit about her experience of realizing that she was a woman and how long it took for her to step into her own truth. Because our whole concept of Moon Talk is also talking about transitioning in your life, right? Transitioning from being a parent or from being single to being married, from being yourself to being a parent, from high school to college. We all transition. We transition from the car to work to home. And so speaking a little bit on this will be beneficial. And then we can talk about the transits and the overall discussion that we want to talk about the difference between trans women and gay men in this particular podcast that we're going to be mentioning. So, Carmen, take it away.
Well, thank you so much, Gray, for that lovely introduction. As you said, I identify as a trans woman. And I have been doing so for the last 2 years of my life now, since I've started my transition. Though, as Gray did mention, I did start figuring myself out about a decade ago. And I was very fortunate enough to find understanding at the university that I was attending 10 years ago, actually. Which had a very strong LGBT community and just allowed me to really explore the different sides of myself. So at that time, I really started taking on the identity of gender non-binary. And what that really allowed for me was to break down how I really felt about myself and the experiences and the lenses that I had been using to view my own world. So as that has changed, it has only made things clear for me that I no longer wanted to identify as a cis male or as a cis homosexual male, and to even take it further than gender binary, but to accept my full truth as a trans woman. Thinking back on my life, it's really hard to pick just one experience that opened my eyes to myself, because I can remember being very young and understanding that something was different for me. And whether I understood what that difference was, it really helped shape the way that I carried myself. I was always softer than the other boys. I was always a little bit more meek and aware of my surroundings in the way that a lot of women may have felt at that time as well. I remember seeing advertisements on TV for lipstick or mascara and wishing that I could wear that, or walking in stores with like my mom or my aunties and just thinking how beautiful it was that women had all of these options and the different types of clothes and fabrics and patterns, and how it made me feel that I was so mad that I could never experience that as what people refer to me as, a boy or a man. So I'm sure a lot of trans women actually have these experiences thinking back onto their lives. And now that I'm able to look at it from this perspective, it's reassuring.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's like the boundaries, some of the boundaries as a trans woman that are created by you, and some of the boundaries are created for you, right? And this idea of being able to identify all these different patterns of what that means and how it means. It's like you were saying, you never felt like one of those boys because you never were one of those boys. It's the same thing with me. And in that, they probably also knew that. I was going to ask you, and how did that affect the boys that were in your life? It's a very different concept with Carmen than it is with me, because I didn't have brothers growing up. I was raised by women. I had an older sister. I had my mom. I had my grandma. So I literally just always was with women, always raised by women. So it was just natural for me to not be censored necessarily by certain things that maybe other boys were censored by, the conversations and what I found beautiful, the colors, and what made me happy. You know, I didn't have a lot of masculine forces forcing me to not be me. I was able to just think and create storylines for myself, play with Barbies and G.I. Joes and do stuff. And then I had a very specific conversation with my grandfather once, because my mother had seen me with t-shirts on my head, you know, and I always wanted to be a strong woman too.
So I was always into like Catwoman and Xena, Warrior Princess, and She-Ra and Jem and the holograms, just women that were capable. I felt, well, I didn't feel weaker because I was a woman. I just felt like that was my identity. It was, I didn't think that being a woman was keeping me from doing what other boys did. You know, what the other boys did. Because at the time, I never associated myself with being a boy. I just was in that vessel. And that might seem strange to certain people who aren't having this experience, but it was almost like I have a mentor, my fashion model mentor, Grace Jamel. She said to me a year ago or so, when I told her about my experience and my transition, she was looking at me and she said, yeah, well, I mean, I never saw you as a man, you know? And it's like, you know, it's like, she was like, I saw non-binary, I saw femme, but I never saw this masculine force within you. And if anybody, you know, we'll talk about the astrology stuff later, but in transit in my natal chart, Aries is completely consumed by Pisces for me, and that's why 12th house. So there really is no masculine force in that sense inside of me. But it's just interesting to see the approach to the awakening of that. I mean, I remember Carmen saying that she always knew, and then you listen to her experiences of going to college and slowly waking herself up to what she always knew. So she was actually doing the studying to cater to her impulses and her emotions inside, versus me subconsciously, I was doing it, but I actually wasn't doing it mentally for myself, right? I wasn't like getting on and studying transitioning or transition in issues or transgender issues or non-binary LGBTQ IA 2+ issues. It was more like I was just being me, attracting who I was attracting. But slowly, once I felt things, I listened to the things that I felt. And it was a whole buildup until I finally could no longer ignore the truth. And all of these memories started to come back to me that I really had drank the Kool-Aid that they forced down my throat. And so there's this whole waking up to yourself. So Curve, that now that we've testified about that and we mentioned the whole idea of dead naming, right, which is the idea of saying a trans person's name that they used to be called. Most trans women are not in the same lane as me in the sense of just adding a name to the rest of their name. You know, my name is Gray. I was born with the name Dale, which is a unisex name. Anyway, I've met more women, older women with the name Dale than I have men in my life. But the name Dale, which is still part of me, is added to the back of Gray. Gray, which girls really are yearning, is my name. Or you can call me Gray Dale. Whereas most women who transition choose to have a very distinct name from the name that they used to have. And a lot of that is because there's a lot of emotional triggers that play into hearing that old aspect of yourself. And a lot of the times, you don't feel seen if somebody calls you by a name that you don't want to be identified as. So it comes levels of respect, which is why it's so important to push seeing somebody the way they want to be seen. I had a good friend send me in a text message or an email, I think it was a text message, about a week or two ago, and you can respond to this, woman. But she asked me a very specific question, and she said, when I am identifying a trans person, I don't care about, you know, using the correct pronoun. I want to call them exactly what they want to be called. But in past stories, regardless. You know, even if they were in the past, they were known as this, they were in this masculine or this feminine energy. The point is they know themselves as who they are, and who they are is who they want to be referred to as in every aspect of their life.
Absolutely.
Right? And so it is, and that was a lesson for me to learn, even with me and Carmen, because we're lovers, and Carmen was, you know, a masculine force in my life before. And she's still in a similar role in my life, but she's not under that same cloak of identity. And so being able to separate the difference between the sexuality and the gender within what that is, and realizing that really nothing was lost when it comes to the interpersonal relationship between the two of us, has been a slow, long journey. It's not just like presto changeo, because all of my memories associated with her were from this loving aspect of this masculine force in my life that was idealistic for me. But it's not fair for me, for her for me to constantly address her in some aspect that I want, right? It's not about what I want. It's about how that person wants to be identified, right?
Right. And like all interpersonal relationships, it really is a progression that is very personal to you and the person you're relating to. A lot of trans women will be great advocates for themselves and tell you exactly what it is that they're going through. For a long time, I didn't know if I was going to change my name. And I recently changed my name. And a lot of people have been very, very respectful and helpful. And there has been many who have taken time to adjust. And it all comes down to the understanding and really how far one wants to get into it with someone, because it is energy that you're expelling at the end of the day. You know, when you deal with someone and their intentions come with love, even when they mess up, we still forgive them. Right. But if your intention is just to cause harm, then I really don't have to do anything, because at the end of the day, you're not providing anything for me. You're not changing my story or my history or where I'm progressing towards.
Well, indirectly can hurt people, right? Because of that, we all have our own. For your experience, right? Let's talk about what's transiting and what's going on in the heavens, since this is Moon Talk Radio, and we need to kind of mention what's happening in the heavens and how it's influencing us for the podcast. We'll spend the last 10 minutes or so of the podcast talking about this interesting topic that me and Carmen wanted to bring up, which is the difference between the needs of a trans woman and the needs of a gay male and how they play themselves out. So right now we've got a stellium in the heavens, right? With the conjunction of Moon, Mars, and Venus, all in Leo. Leo is talking about the self, right? It's talking about, Leo is ruled by the sun. So it's ruled by the awareness. The sun is a flashlight to the galaxy. So if you're dark, you're in the dark, then you turn the light on, you see things, you're bringing awareness to things. So when you're looking at someone's natal chart, where their sun is shining light on their actions, how they do things. So Leo rules that connection. So when you're thinking about the constellation of Leo, it really is talking about the self most of the time, or your children, or your father, paternal energy, or your dreams and aspirations, like your legacy, how you want things to continue, right? Like the rays from the sun is far away, but those rays travel all the way to Earth and throughout the galaxy. It's a continuation of the source. And so that's kind of what Leo is hinting at. Mars is the is the knight, right? Is the Sir Lancelot, is the doer, is the aggression, is the, ooh, I really want to. And then Venus is like, I want the fine stuff. I'm calm. I'm willing to wait for it. I need to get comfortable. Mars is like, I need to get up and get dressed and go after it. And the moon is like, this is how my mind works. This is what I'm feeling. So clearly in that stellium, Mars is the most dominant planet, right? And it's also trine Leo. So Mars can be kind of over the top as a planet. You know, it's like it's saying where we need to build, what we want, what we desire, and where we would need to have war and where we need to construct things. But also in Leo, it's a little more comfortable because Leo is really hinting at yourself and your own spirit. And Mars is kind of talking about your will for yourself, your will for your legacy, and your will for your life. Also, that's being affected by the way your mind works and what you think of as the best outcome. Because Venus is hinting at the best outcome, right? The best thing that we want to happen. Not just something we want to happen. It's fine dining versus fast food, right? Mars is hungry and it's like, I'm hungry. Let's get in the car and go. Venus is like, I want to get dressed, get nice. I want live music. I want you to wear your tux or your dress. I want you to show up. You know what I mean? It's the whole fine dining experience. What would you like to say about that, Carmen?
I would just like to add that with this conjunction, we're really paying attention to how we're feeding ourselves, because as Grace said, it is about yourself, with Leo being the sign that all of these planets are in. Leo is ruled by the heart chakra, so it's really putting an emphasis on love, and not only love, but self-love, and how to use that love to project outward. So when we see someone who has their sun in Leo, what we view as courageous and outgoing and maybe even outlandish is really just the ability to take this innate care for themselves and project it outwards, right? So we're now incorporating it into these other celestial bodies that are ruling maybe a little bit softer natures, taking into the account the moon and Venus, which are softer planets, which are more feminine planets, as opposed to the aggressiveness of the Mars energy, which is really saying, is this beneficial for me? Is this going to help me? Is this going to bring me the peace and the care and the acceptance that I'm looking for?
Right. Right. What are we constructing? Beautiful. Okay. So we kind of hinted at that. We've been gearing ourselves up for it. And now we're going to dive into the main topic, right? Which is this difference between trans women and gay males. First of all, we're talking about gender versus sexuality. I think that's the basis of what we need to first put clarity to, right? A trans woman is talking about herself, her self-image, and the way that she needs to be seen. Versus a gay male, which might not be talking about gender at all. It might be talking about who you need to be with. And it's talking about the sensuality and the sexuality of what turns you on, what doesn't turn you on. Like a lot of people don't realize that you could be a trans woman, right? And be lesbian, or a trans male and be gay. So these are playing into the concepts of what it means and the understanding of what it means. Usually if you're a trans woman, you are naturally going to be attracted to heterosexual men. Now, gay men
may also be attracted to heterosexual men, but gay men are also attracted to gay men. Typically, gay men are attracted to gay men. They want to be with gay men. And it's a different experience than a trans woman who sees herself as a woman and needs a man that sees her as a woman because that's what she is. And a lot of confusion goes into play when it comes to LGBTQ, IA2 plus issues, because a lot of those people who are attracted to trans women or trans men for that matter, don't actually understand that they're queer instead of gay or lesbian. A lot of the times when a man is attracted to a trans woman, if he's not comfortable with his own sexuality, he pegs himself as gay. Therefore, it sends a spiral like of synthesis for him, right? He's gay. Whatever his boy's going to say, what his mom's going to say, now he feels like he needs to come out as this. But really, he never sees himself with a man. He never fantasizes even about necessarily being with a man or watches gay porn even. He wants women. He's attracted to women. And he's attracted to this woman who happens to have a penis, right? That's a different concept than the needs of a gay man to another gay man. Do you want to speak on that, Carmen? Let me know what you think.
Yes, of course. I think the easiest way to break it down is to think about gender as an identity and sexual orientation as a characteristic of a person. So when we talk about identity, we're talking about something that is innate for them that has to do with the way they present themselves to the world. So these things fall under nationality. These things fall under your gender. These things fall under your physical appearances. Whereas sexual orientation is more of a characteristic, which is an umbrella for a lot of different types of people. You can be from any part of the world and you can look any type of way and have any type of preferences and consider yourself to be heterosexual, bisexual, gay, or lesbian.
Right, the spectrum, honey. Mm-hmm.
And really what it's coming down to is that in itself, as Gray mentioned, a trans woman is someone who has taken their sexual identity regardless of what they were born as or what sex they were born as. And they have now chosen to identify this way. So in and of itself, when we talk about gender identity, we're not talking about sex or necessarily sexual relationships. We're really talking about something personal for the person. And when we start bringing in sexual orientation, we're almost talking about the preferences of who you like to be with. So looking online, I have read that sexual orientation is denoted by physical, emotional, and sexual attraction to either a person of the same sex for homosexuals and lesbians, or someone of the opposite sex for someone who would be heterosexual, or for someone who likes both, which would be bisexual or even pansexual.
So that was so informative. Go on. I'm like, yes.
So one of the main differences I feel really comes down to this sense of community, you know, where you're finding your community, because you can be a trans femme, trans female, or a trans male and still identify as such. You can be a gay trans man, which would be someone who has transitioned from female to male, but still likes men.
Right.
And same way, you can be a trans femme, trans female, who likes women, and that would also make you lesbian or gay. And these are just characteristics that we then add on top of each other. You know,
exactly.
That add another part of the spectrum, but it doesn't necessarily denote how we're going to present to you.
And it's interesting because, and we may end up actually having another podcast on this because I usually try to keep the podcast about half an hour, but it's interesting because when you're transitioning, it's really more where this area can be, becomes more blurry for people when people are aware of your transition, right? When people, when you're transitioning on your own and people have see you as this identity, like maybe they knew you as this person, dead named, or who you were before, and now you're this, that's different than them watching you go through this, right? Because when they're watching you go, like my personal experience is like I was outed immediately. I didn't tell everybody that I was transitioning. Everybody just magically found out somehow. Mm. And, you know, and I live in New York. So there's this whole exposure of like my experience happening, which is a lot different than a lot of trans women, because most trans women, most people don't know. You know, it's like it's a private thing. And a lot of the times you don't even have the same friends that you had when you were in high school or in college, when you go off to live your life. So a lot of people who knew you as that aspect of yourself, you're not even dealing with those people anymore. You've kind of outgrown them and outgrown your experiences. Whereas I'm kind of having more of an experience where I'm constantly juggling what that means for me. You know, the friends that quote unquote Dale created and the partnerships that Dale created, how impacting and how important are they to the identity of Gray? And it's very fascinating to me because I find that the older the friends, the easier it is, right? It's like the friends that I know from high school and from middle school and my family actually had an easier identification of who I was because I've always been me. You know, a lot of those friends are like, well, you always said you were a woman, or you always made decisions that led up to who you were. It's more of my friends and coworkers and experiences from the past maybe decade or from my adult life that are more challenging when people are more stubborn about how they want to see me or how they've been seeing me versus people who know me at my core and naturally can see that I was actually in a prison my whole life that I had mastered. Right. Carmen, would you like to speak on anything else within this whole concept of what the needs are? One thing I will say, and I think we are gonna have a part one and a part two to this video, because this concept is very juicy, is that the needs between a gay male and a trans women see themselves as women and are women, and want the world to see them as women, and their hormonal levels are women. Everything is a woman. So their approach to a relationship is as a woman. They need romance, they wanna be wooed, things are meaningful in a deeper way, sentimental even, in a much deeper way, versus maybe two gay men, they might not even get to an emotional connection with each other until they are first physical, which is very different than a trans woman, right? A trans woman needs comfort in emotional ways. She needs that stability and that security that any woman would need before she opens herself up, her body, her mind up, her heart up to this experience, versus a gay male who might just feel more comfortable fooling around, letting it go. And maybe you know, once you fool around enough, you realize you have feelings for this person and you start to grow, right? Because a lot of the times with women, as women, we have to have a good feeling about something in order to continue. Versus a lot of times with men work off of their eyes. They see something, they like it, aruga, they're going for it. And then through the physical, they get to the emotional. Well, I really like spending time with her. We see each other normally every Monday and Friday. Well, I didn't only got to see her one time last week. Oh, I didn't like that, did I? Okay, well, I wanna make sure I have her twice a week at least. Oh, three times. Well, I need more of her and more of her and more of her and more of her. And so that's causing him to realize how much he cares about her over time. It's not like it just hit him right away. Versus a woman, a lot of the times we know whether we want to have something deeper, or we want to keep you at arm's length. Carmen, I'm going to let you round up this particular podcast. What would you like to finish out with on this topic for everybody?
I would just like to say that I definitely agree with you. And speaking of personal experience and having dated gay men when I identified as such, and now dating men who are open to my identity and who understand who I've become, is a complete difference. And you find yourself asking yourself why, and it becomes really clear, as Gray had mentioned, the expectations for the relationships change. I think that with gay men, what it really comes down to is that strong sense of masculinity, which is really what they're after. They're attracted to the masculinity. They're attracted to the passion, to that machismo type energy, which is what attracts them, or what they know that they will attract. A lot of gay men, not all of them, but for the most part, there seems to be a big culture of what a man should look like and what a man should act like. And throughout a lot of relationships, I failed to necessarily fit that standard in a lot of ways, not because I didn't physically look like one, or I couldn't play the game, but I think that my needs were different. And it took a long time to understand that what I searched for was that stability, was the intimacy, was the ability to nurture and to be nurtured in ways that were more than just, okay, well, let's have sex and that was hot and I'll call you later and we hang out too much, so don't call me for 2 weeks. And now being on the other side, you know, I'm learning what it means to share my body with someone who appreciates me, who really wants me, and who's going to allow me to develop in my own way, you know, who's looking to build more of that intimacy and more of that, what we would say a traditional family role. You know, I'm looking for someone who will one day be my husband and will see me as their wife. And it's going to build that family regardless of what it looks like.
Exactly. Okay, what girl doesn't want a happy ending? Okay.
And
I think that's beautiful.
I think that there's a lot of small differences that once we start paying attention become clear to us. And even though we fall under the same umbrella of the LGBT family, there are minor differences there. And that's why we have different letters in this alphabet mafia, which we identify as, because we are different, but we're all the same because we all have a deep understanding of what it's like to be outcasted, to not be seen.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. That was a perfect way to end this part one of this discussion. We are definitely going to have a part two. So stay tuned to that, because I want to dive a little bit deeper into this concept, possibly within personal stories, even in our dating between me and Carmen, and give you guys insight on that. What I will say is, if you guys have any questions about anything that you've heard on the podcast today, you can send us an email at radiomoontalk@gmail.com. You can address it to either me, Gray, or to Carmen. Both of us or either one of us will answer as soon as we get the email. Also, feel free to follow us on moontalk.radio. That's IG, moontalk.radio on IG. Or you can find us on YouTube. It's Moon Talk, one word, and radio behind that. Moon Talk Radio on YouTube and moontalk.radio on IG. And the email is radiomoontalk@gmail.com. Okay. Thank you guys for listening to this podcast. And we look forward to connecting with you guys soon. Carmen, I'll be connecting with you right after this. And I'm so glad to have you back on Moon Talk. Finish out and say farewell to our audience.
I just want to say thank you to everyone for having me here, and to Gray for being an amazing host, friend, and cherished person in my life. I hope to be with you soon, and I hope you all have a great day.
Bye, guys.